Yeah, technology is the last thing I want to get into, I guess. I don't know how I'm making a living in it, but maybe it's something that I need to reconsider. Well, anyway, I have hope. I won't let the little mic get in the way. So, good afternoon, everybody. Something new we ask. Actually, is that new? Something we ask every time we have a day like this. Why are you here? You could be in school. You could be at work. You could be at home working on your garden or doing mowing the lawn, I guess if you're Jeff, or do something else. Now, if you were Noah or Eden, you'd say, because Mom and Dad strapped us on the car seat and took us here. For the rest of us, though, I think we came here because we felt we had to be here for some reason. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Really, I'd like to explore the meaning of the Feast of Trumpets, because it's when you, or the Day of Trumpets, when you read it, you'll find that there is not a verse that associated with a specific meaning. Just like Passover, you could do that. But it doesn't. However, we're here because it is one of the feast days in Leviticus 23 we're supposed to observe. So today, I want to discuss its possible meaning and relevance to us. Because really, after all said and done, we have to find out for ourselves, what are you doing here? And if you don't know the answer, maybe it's a good reason to get into it, because God wants to have an answer that's credible and that's relevant to the purpose he has for mankind. And as we've done recently, in fact, those of you here and those of you who've been studying, actually, this will be redundant, perhaps, and some a refresher. For some of you, it'll be new. Jeff started a series on why bother to even keep the holy days, period, which is very challenging, and he'll continue on that. So some of this will be a repetition, but I never get tired of hearing about the holy days. When it first began, when I first kept keeping it, it was a challenge, but then ever since then, when it sort of opened my eyes to what it means, what I believe it means, I always look forward to it, just like what the Sabbath means. To us, it is also a feast day of God. So it just felt like the Sabbath last night, when of course it's a holy day. So let's go back to where we start with everything else, because we believe, well, I'll say I believe, and I know when I say we, because I think you guys do too, that when God created man, he put in place what it would take to succeed, to fulfill the purpose he made for us from the very beginning. It wasn't like he created man and go, what am I going to do with them? How am I going to get them from A to Z? What did I get myself into? Maybe he might have asked that at some point in his life, where he, as you recall, with Israel, he got to the point where he says, I want to kill all these people, Moses. Let me just get rid of them. And I'm going to start afresh with you. So he does get frustrated. And I believe, this is a sidebar, that I think that's why we have kids. To increase the number of offspring for God, make them holy. But at the same time, to help us understand the frustration he goes with through bringing us into his kingdom. It is a struggle. And then it's kind of interesting. The cycle will repeat. Those who don't have kids now will go, I don't want parents are that way, or why they do this. And then they become parents, and you just sit there and go, yeah, now it's your turn. But what does that have to do with the holy days? Well, a lot of it is because there's a plan. God has a plan. So let's start at the beginning. Not the very beginning, but yeah, Genesis 1:13. And this is, of course, when God had parted the waters and land came up, and he did, had vegetation, created them. And the 13 is sort of the conclusion of that day. It says, and the evening and the morning were the third day. And verse 14 of Genesis, and God, the word is Elohim, said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. You've heard this before, but it's always good to be reminded of it. The word signs comes from the Hebrew called oth, O-T-H. A lot of this you just look up yourself. Don't take my word for it. Look it up. O-T-H. It means a signal, a flag, a monument, evidence. They said it could be literally or figuratively a signal, a flag, evidence, a miracle, a sign, a token. When you want to dig something in your property, what do? Those of you who have property, what do you have to do? The first thing you're supposed to do? Call Miss Dig. What do? They come and put flags. What does that mean? You don't dig too deep into that area because there might be some gas lines. When my wife has asked me to rototill when we were still doing more of it, knowing that I am plant identification challenged, is that the right word? She would put either like a yellow, one of those tent pegs there, or maybe something with a little flag that would say, Dennis, do not rototill this thing I've been growing for the last 3 years. Or else, that's kind of implied. So that's what a sign is, a flag, a monument, evidence, something that says, whoa, watch. Now, so seasons, the word is moed, M-O-E-D. You might get tired of hearing, but that's what the word is. It means an appointment, a fixed time or season, a festival. So at the very beginning, when he said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, he said, evidence, a monument, a flag, and for seasons, a time when it's a fixed time. We weren't alive then, so it was God's. He said, I'm setting this up so that you will know this. Okay? So that was at the very beginning. So it's like he laid the foundation for it. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Of course, that was when he created those signs and those heavenly, what do you call them? The stars, the moon, the rotation of the earth. And now let's go to Leviticus 23, where we will actually be introduced to all of these appointed times, the moeds. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 1, all very familiar to you. And the Lord, and that's the word Jehovah, the self-existing eternal one, spoke, said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feasts, concerning the moed of the Lord, Jehovah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, a convocation, the Hebrew is mikra, something called out, a public meeting, an assembly. That's what we're having right now. Holy convocations. Even these are my moeds. So you go from Genesis, the very beginning, to Leviticus, where he's talking about appointed times, fixed times. He's saying, these are my moeds. This is my moeds. Jehovah's moeds. Verse 3 of Leviticus 23, he says, 6 days you shall work and be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. Shabbaton is the word, Sabbath. It's a Sabbath. A holy mikra, again, an assembly. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. So there's an association of meeting and dwellings, of meeting. So we're meeting. That's what we're doing today. But the Sabbath also is a weekly public meeting. Well, of those who understand what it means, that's why we do it. And verse 4, he repeats the same thing. These are the moeds, or the feasts of the Lord, even holy meetings, which you shall proclaim in their moeds. It's like moed, moed, moed. And so it's tying it together. So the appointed time number one, moed, was the Sabbath, which he created on the seventh day, right? He rested on the seventh day. He created the Sabbath, which ties all these moeds to the very beginning. Appointed time number two was the Passover. Appointed time number three was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Appointed time number four was Pentecost. And we read, after you read all the description about when Pentecost is supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to count 50. And on the 50th Then you observe Pentecost, which again is a holy convocation. But let me read what it says. Leviticus 23, verse 21. And you shall proclaim on that selfsame day that it may be a holy mikra, a convocation unto you. You shall do no servile work. That's why we're not working on Pentecost. Therein it shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. Now, between the time of the Pentecost and the description of today, which is trumpets, there's kind of an interesting scripture that I always kind of read it, but I kind of go over it. But for some reason, God chose to put this verse in between those two. And let me read that to you. Verse 22 of Leviticus 23. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not make clean riddance. That means you don't consume all of the corners of your field. When you reap, neither shall you gather the gleanings. The gleanings are when you pick things, grain, things fall. So he said, don't pick all those up. Why? Because you shall give them to the poor, to the stranger. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah, your Elohim. He's saying, don't do that. Why did God do that? I think it shows his love and that the feast days are not just for, because it's during the harvest time, were for the strangers, which by implication are foreigners, and the poor, those who don't have the means. So really, if you're talking about the festivals, it was meant to benefit not just us who saved and have money, but for those who don't have it also, to help out. It's just a thought that came through my head as I was studying this. Here in the middle of Leviticus 23, yeah, don't take all the gleanings. Don't leave some. So do we do that when we observe the feast days? I don't know. That's a question we can think about. Because I want to explore what is being said here, because some of us are at different levels of understanding. So you have to take what you hear from me or from anybody else and then go home and study it and see if it applies to you. If it doesn't, well, that's between you and God. You work it out. But this is something I think God put in my heart to just read, that it benefits not just those who have been observing the feast, but those who are poor and those who are strangers somehow. And we tried to do that. Now, let's go to verse 24, which is where we read about the Feast of Trumpets or the Day of Trumpets. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing trumpets, and a holy convocation, a mikra. You shall do no servile work. That's why we're not working today. But you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now we have an issue here. Oh, well, some people might have an issue. Because it says it's a memorial. A memorial of what? Because the word memorial is zikron. A memorable thing, a day, a writing, a memorial or a record. What is it commemorating? Because really, there's not a whole lot there. A memorial of blowing up trumpets. So you go, okay, so we have to look at trumpets. But there's also a challenge we have to address here. One thing I want to mention is the holy days, the feast days, are dual in nature. I believe some of the verses. Anyway, for example, the Passover, right? It was first introduced, at least when we read it, on the surface in Exodus 12. The Passover was killed. They're supposed to kill it on the 14th day, take the blood, put it on the door area so that when the death angel, which doesn't really, not the right phrase, but an angel comes to the Lord and he doesn't kill the firstborn. But in 1 Corinthians 5:7, it was already done, so the Passover is done. It says that Christ, our Passover, died. And he died hundreds of years after the Passover was actually killed. So we know there's a connection. And then in Revelation 38, it says the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So when you think of a holy day, you got it at the beginning, you got it in the middle, and you got it in Christ. So when you think of the feast days, you can't say, well, here we are in Israel on this specific time period, so it's not there anymore, so we don't observe it. Well, it doesn't make sense. So it's a memorial of something. We don't know. But then there's another, well, we don't know exactly, but we have an idea. I think I want to go through that here. And then this thing about trumpets. I put trumpets, not trumpets, but trumpets. The reason I say it, the physical word, the word there is not really a trumpet. If you look at it, it's teruah. It's a clamor. It's an acclamation of joy, a battle cry, a clangor of trumpets, an alarm. So the word doesn't mean really a trumpet. It means shouting, acclamation, joy. And if you look at the literal translation of the Bible, Leviticus 23:24, I mean that specific book, it means a call to a memorial, it says. The Young's literal translation says a memorial of shouting. So where does trumpets come in? Well, if you read the commentaries, one of the things they say is the shouting and clamoring really is associated, if you look at the traditions, the Hebrew tradition of the Jewish traditions of trumpets. You don't just shout. You could, but how long will that take? There's also trumpets that accompany it. You'll have to look. You don't have to take my word. You look into it. They associate that shouting, that acclamation with trumpets. So someone who says, well, it doesn't say trumpets. Yeah, you're right. It doesn't say trumpets in the Hebrew. But we can get bogged down on that. But really, if you look at it, when there's this acclamation, we'll read some verses. It'll show it's associated. Okay? And one reason I believe that it's okay to make that leap, because it's not a stretch to say it is correct, that the trumpets is associated with this day, is in, it talks about Moses, that he was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers, the one who received the living oracles or the utterances to give to us. He met with God and he was attributed to have written the books, the Torah. And the Jews, those of you who have studied this, know they were given the responsibility of preserving the writings and the intent of God's word. They're so fanatical about it. Romans 3, verses 1 and 2, you can write this down, look it up. It says, what advantage, after he talks about not, just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you're a Jew, just because you're from Israel, you're not really of Israel. He goes, what advantage then, this is Paul, has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. So what's the point? The point is that those who wrote the Bible felt that that was the right word in the description in Leviticus 23 when it talked about trumpets, that they associated the two together. So it's a memorial, a Sabbath of the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. So except for those two literal translations that don't translate exactly a memorial blowing of trumpets, I looked at about 25 other Bible translations, and they all say memorial of blowing of trumpets. See, I believe that the translation memorial of a blowing of trumpets, based on the commentaries and all the translations, is not a stretch, but a, may I say, sound conclusion based on the facts. So our responsibility is to find what God's will is, to obey it, not to find the reasons why we shouldn't obey it, because some people do that. Well, you tell me the meaning and I'll keep it. Well, I think that's not the right approach. I think you observe it, and as those of you who have been here a long time, as you observe God's laws, you start getting the meaning. At least that's why I found it. If you guys say, oh, no, I ain't going to do it. It's like a kid saying, don't put your hand on that fire. Well, tell me the meaning, or I'm going to do it. Just don't do it. Well, God is really saying that you observe it, you obey him, then you know the meaning. And truly, let's just settle this once and for all. The reason we keep it is not because we know the meaning exactly, right? We do it because it's in Leviticus 23, and we're told to observe it. We keep the Passover, we keep Pentecost, we keep Days of Unleavened Bread, and we keep this day because it's one of those holy days listed in Leviticus 23. The meaning, I think, will come as we observe it. It might not be exactly until Christ comes, but I think we'll have a good indication of what it is. And I believe, kind of tagging with what Joanna had said, was It is a message of hope. This Day of Trumpets is a message of hope. So we'll go quickly through an overview, and then you can read those scriptures fully later to see if you agree. So let's go to the Old Testament and look at the use of a trumpet. It's a memorial. So where has the word trumpet been used? The first instance that I saw was in Exodus 19. That's when Israel had gathered in the wilderness in Sinai, and God had called them. So in Exodus 19, there's the word trumpet. Go to your concordance, look up trumpet or trumpets. Exodus 19 is where you would find it. Then let's go to Numbers 10. Again, we're exploring the meaning of this day. Numbers 10, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself, and you shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation, so the trumpets for calling the congregation, and for directing the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. So they've got a pattern here. Now you have to know what those are. So if it's calling one and you're a leader, you better show up, because that means you're being called. And when you sound the advance, the camps that lie on the east side shall then begin their journey. In verse 6, when you sound the advance a second time, then the camps that lie in the south shall begin their journey. Now, those of you who've studied this know that they were in a certain section. The tribes of Israel had a certain spot when they tent. It wasn't just like, oh, this looks like a good spot. This is where I, Naphtali, will stay. No, God said, this is the way you are supposed to line up. So when he blows a certain trumpet, this side goes. When he blows a trumpet, that side goes. So there was an order that God wanted to be followed. And verse 7, and when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, verse 8, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Verse 9 of Numbers 10, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets. So it's a war. It's for movement. It's for calling the elders. And you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemy. So when you go to war, you blow this, and God hears and saves you. But number 10, verse 10, is where it's probably good to really focus on. Because it says, you also, these trumpets, also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed moeds, feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am Jehovah, your Elohim. So you can see there's an association with the feasts and the blowing of the trumpets. Numbers 10. So that's in the Old Testament. Now let's go to the New Testament. We're talking about the meaning of trumpets then, what it might mean to us. This is actually a very hopeful set of verses. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Talking about people who died. I have had a few of those, and we all will at some point in the future, and ourselves too. But it's a message of hope. I love to read this scripture. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So there's a sequence. It's telling us. But then in verse 16, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, an acclaim, yes, or whatever he's going to say. It's time. With the voice of an archangel and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet in the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, when I think of the Lord himself descend with heaven with a shout, will that be God doing it, or will it be somebody else? All I can think of is, at least those who are fanatical football fans, when there's a touchdown, yes! Or, you know, they do the dance, you know. And I'm thinking, Jesus would, we get some of that from Jesus, his sense of humor. He'll probably be ready to boogie down, saying, it's time to do this. Let's go do it. You know how they try to build you up when you're watching football games? They're just ready to go. And I'm thinking he's chomping at the bit. So when God says, go, he's got that shout. Yes, let's go, do it. And then the trumpet sounds. So it's kind of like, to me, that's a good memorial, a good picture of maybe, you know, that's what he's talking about. Because it's another a trumpet blowing. So it doesn't say what trumpet, but it says a trumpet will blow. But then let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51, 52. It kind of says, gives it an idea, too, of what's going on here. Because it's a memorial, Leviticus 23, when it talks about trumpets, it's a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, plural, not one. It says in chapter 15, verse 51, so it says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. I don't know, that gives me goosebumps. It just excites me. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, does that excite you? I mean, it excites me. It's kind of what we live for, and what we die for, actually. But it implies that there's more than one trumpet. If you're the last place in a race, that means there are other people racing. You just happen to be the last. Well, if there's a last trumpet, there'll be other trumpets that blew before the last one. I hope that makes sense, right? I think it makes sense. So let's go to where the only part in the Bible where there's a bunch of trumpets. So I'm making this association, and I think it's very credible. You may not, but that's the only place I can go. Let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. You're familiar with the story if you read the book of Revelation. It says, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Verse 2. Then I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose the seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. That was just temporary because in verse 5, well, one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. We found one. And we know it was Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, verse 1. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, come and see. Of course, then the seals are opened. Let's go to chapter 8. There are several seals, and the seventh seal is opened. It reveals some more information. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about half an hour. And verse 2, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So we got trumpets now. I'm not going to read every description, but I'll just go through the verses. And verse 6, after they described the censers, filled it with fire from the altar. They threw it in the earth. There were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. In verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Here are your trumpets, you seven, and each of you have your order, which you're supposed to blow it. So, verse 7 of Revelation 8, the first angel sounded. It kind of reminded me of what Rick talked about. And hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And the third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Verse 8. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of these ships were destroyed. That's number 2. Number 3. And then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, heavenly sign, burning like a torch, and it fell in a third of the rivers and the springs of water. And the name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, that's verse 12, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, likewise the night. So we're talking heavenly signs here. As the trumpets are sounding, things are going on. Things are happening. So when you're talking about memorial, the blowing of trumpets, we're hearing trumpets here, one after the other. Verse 13. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound." So four had blown the trumpets, and there were three more. Then we go, I'll skip all that. You can read that in between 8:13 and Revelation 9, verse 1. Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven and into the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And then in verse 13, it says, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." Now, there's a lot of text in between that. I'm just trying to cut to the scriptures that talk about the trumpets. And verse 14 of Revelation 11, it says, "The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly." A lot of bad things were happening on earth, but it's leading up to a good thing. So let's go to verse 15 of Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded. This is the last one, the last trumpet. And there were loud voices in heaven, acclamation, cheering, whatever it is. "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." That's being shouted, the acclamation, tumult, just loud, accompanied by that trumpet. So it's the last trumpet. It's the seventh trumpet. And then verse 16, "And the 24 elders who sat before the God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God. We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged. And you shall reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, earthquake, and great hail. So we see here, at least from the very beginning, that God had these appointed times, beginning in the creation of the Sabbath. And he had these moeds, which he introduced the full length list of it in Leviticus 23. Which then, one of them being what we're celebrating now, a Sabbath of the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. It's a memorial of something that is going to occur, has occurred. And the only thing we can find and associate with it, at least that's what I found, is that it's a celebration of the resurrection, of a time in the future when those of us who are grieving from those we've lost and those who might lose And maybe even our own human frailty, our temporary existence on earth, looks forward to. So when you blow that trumpet, the dead in Christ, as I see it, will rise first, and then those who are alive and remain will join with them. And in the end, as it's shown in Revelation, on that last trumpet, because now we're talking trumpets, I'm thinking that means it's saying the Lord God has just given to Jesus Christ, it is over. It's just done. It's a done deal. So I believe this Sabbath of memorial of the blowing of trumpets, which we celebrate today, while we cannot necessarily connect one verse to say this is the connection, the preponderance of the evidence, the preponderance of the scripture point to a fact that us, a part of God's plan of salvation for mankind, that after Passover when Jesus Christ died, after the days of unleavened bread when sin is being put away, after Pentecost, which is the first fruits, then we have the blowing of trumpets when God takes over. Then we have Day of Atonement, which of course we'll hear about later, where Satan's put away, and then the Feast of Tabernacles, which is in about a couple of weeks, and then the last great day. So I think it's a fundamental part of the plan of God. We don't know maybe the exact meaning, but I think what we've read, again, this is my belief and where I am right now, is that that is one of the more exciting parts of this whole plan of God. And I believe that we are observing today because we also look forward to that time. Anybody have any questions?